gave her an estimate.
It was $886 plus tax.
Then she got the runaround.
He called and told me it was $2,700 to rebuild the transmission. I told him I couldn't afford that. And I said, don't fix it. I discovered that it had been repaired.
How trustworthy is your mechanic?
Are you telling me that she didn't say to you, don't fix the car?
She never told me not to fix it until after it was installed in the vehicle.
He's not a dumb person. He knows.
No, he's playing dumb. Yeah.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Whitney Strong says, transmission mechanic Joshua Chisenhall made unauthorized repairs to her SUV. Joshua claims he had Whitney's permission.
All rise. Yes, case number 527 on the calendar, the matter of Strong versus Chisenhall.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated, sir. Have a seat.
Ms. Strong, the defendant owns an automobile repair shop, transmissions. Is that right, sir?
Yes.
And this is your claim. You brought your car in because you were having some trouble with shifting of gears. You claim Mr. Strong gave you an estimate.
Yes.
You left your car. Subsequently, he charged you substantially more than the estimate. In order to get your car, you had to give him a check?
Yes.
You want that additional money back?
Yes.
And the defendant says that you authorized those repairs. In addition, it is your claim that some of the parts, because you demanded the parts, and the parts weren't even for your car.
Some of them were, some were not.
When did you bring your car into the defendant?
December 16th.
Had you ever used his shop before?
No, I hadn't.
Was he recommended?
No. I didn't know a lot of people in town. I'm just in college there.
You found him in the Yellow Pages?
Not him directly.
By the company?
I connected to his shop by dialing a number for a different business.
We own that. Okay.
Explain that to me.
I called a place called Trans World, but instead I was connected to Josh at Atlas. So I thought I was calling one business, but connected to his business instead.
Explain that to me.
Atlas Transmission is part of our corporation. It's one of our businesses. We have several different shops. And Trans World was shut down. The numbers forwarded to our main shop in on Hornberger Lane.
Shut down why?
It wasn't doing that much business, so we closed it down.
How many different names do you have that you operate under?
Trans World and Atlas Transmission.
Well, Trans World has how many shops?
It only had one.
So it doesn't exist anymore?
No.
And Atlas?
Yes, it does exist.
How many locations?
We only have one location.
Well, then describe this multifaceted corporation that you have.
It's set up as a corporation.
What's set up as a corporation?
The business is set up as a corporation.
We'll get back to you in a minute. Okay, so you brought it in December 16th. You spoke to whom?
I spoke to Josh.
Okay. Did he give you an estimate of the work that needed to be done?
They drove the vehicle, came back, and spoke to me a few minutes later.
Who spoke to you?
Josh did, after he spoke with Joe, the owner.
You don't own it?
No, I do not.
Well, what is your relationship to Atlas?
I am a...
A what?
General manager.
Are you on salary?
Yes.
Are you on salary and commission?
Yes.
What's your salary?
Salary is $500.
Don't look over there. Look over here.
Okay. Salary is $500 against 7%.
7% of whatever you bring in on a weekly or biweekly basis. Is
weekly.
That correct?
Weekly, yes.
So the more business you do, the more money you bring in, the more money you earn?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Chisenhall spoke to whoever the owner is and gave you a price?
$886.02 plus tax.
Did you get a quote for that?
Yes. Here's the estimate that they gave me and
I'd like
that
to see
I signed.
It. Right. Would you show this to the defendant, please? Recognize that?
Yes.
Who wrote it?
I did.
Okay. So that's what the estimate was.
Without hard parts.
That was the estimate?
Yes.
So when you left there, it was $886 plus tax?
Yes. He did explain to me that to properly diagnose a transmission, you have to take it out and inspect it internally. He also told me if I kept driving it, I would cause further damage and I might end up stranded on the side of the road. He told me if it was any more, he would call and let me know and I would have to give my okay before that repair could be done. So I was informed of that and notified I would have to give my okay.
That was on the 16th?
Yes, ma'am.
And you left the car there?
Yes.
When did you hear from the defendant again?
December 21st. He called and told me that the estimate was not right. There was more damage. At that time, he told me it was $2,700 to rebuild the transmission. I told him I couldn't afford that, that he needed to put my parts in a box, place them in my truck, that I was probably going to buy a car instead.
Tell me your version of the conversation of the 21st of December.
On the 21st, I called her. I told her that it had a lot of damage inside of it. It's going to cost $2,503 plus tax. I talked to her. I talked to her grandfather, and they authorized over the phone by last four of her Social Security number in order for me to fix it.
He wrongly got that social.
No, you gave that to me
just
to
a second.
Fix it.
How did he do that, Ms. Strawn?
In the same breath of air that I told him not to fix the repair, he did get my social.
How did he do that?
He made me believe that it was to confirm he was speaking with me, the owner.
But
he didn't explain why
quiet.
He needed it or that it was to verify that amount because he's not a dumb person.
Just,
he knows.
No, he's playing dumb.
No. Yeah.
Would you please tell me what he said to you, that he had to verify that he was speaking to the...
He didn't say anything except, I need the four of your social.
Did he say that at the beginning of the conversation?
He was on the phone with my grandfather, and then my grandfather handed me the phone and said, he needs your social. And Josh said, I need your social. I gave it to him, and I said, don't fix it. The same sentence.
When was the next time you saw him?
When I went to get the vehicle. That was the next time I saw him.
And when was that?
That was December 28th. I discovered that it had been repaired.
Well, tell me about that. What happened between the 21st and the 28th?
The following day after the 21st, which was the 22nd, I called to tell him I purchased a car. Let me know how much it cost.
22nd?
I purchased it the 21st after business hours. So I called him the next morning very early to let him know that I had got a car and certainly not to fix the vehicle. That's when he hesitated and told me it had been repaired and I could not get it back until I paid that amount of the very large bill.
Which you paid?
I ended up paying $26.41. He took $100 off because my GPS was stolen from the vehicle during business hours.
So GPS stolen while in your custody?
Yes, it came up missing, yes.
Unless you took it?
I did not take it.
Well, then it was stolen.
Yes, it was stolen.
So the answer would be yes?
Yes. But we do have signs say we're not responsible for loss, theft, or damage.
During business hours?
And like so, we did take $100 off the repair bill in order to try to help her out with the GPS.
Now, it's my understanding from reading your papers that you had an expert look at the parts that were in the car.
Yeah, I demanded to have the parts back, and I took them to my trusted hometown mechanic to have him look at those.
That would be this gentleman.
Yes, ma'am.
Step up, please.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You scammed her. It's a routine that you fine-tuned, that maybe you learned it from your... Maybe you're just good and you learned it on your own. I don't know which one, but I know exactly what you did.
And later today...
The phone was ringing, so you bent down to pick up the phone. And?
And I hit a tree.
Okay, so the car rolled and you hit it.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. 23-year-old Whitney Strawn is suing transmission mechanic Joshua Chisenhall for making unauthorized repairs to her SUV.
Could you tell me your name?
Glenn Atkins.
Mr. Atkins, how long have you been an auto mechanic?
Since 1985.
What kind of work do you do on cars?
Now I do transmission work.
For how long?
Since 99.
Did there come a time when the plaintiff brought to you a box of parts?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you examine those parts?
Yes, ma'am.
What kind of car did the defendant have at the time?
She had a Dodge SUV.
What year?
2000, I believe.
And that's the car that you allegedly repaired?
The Durango, yes.
And you examined the parts that she had in the box?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you remember what parts you examined, sir?
I looked at some clutches, a drum, a pump, a torque converter, and some gaskets.
And those were the parts allegedly taken from her car that you replaced?
Yes, those were some of the parts, yes.
Were all of those parts capable of being used in her car?
No, ma'am.
All the parts that we gave her came out of her vehicle.
Yeah. I think you played slick with her, sir, and I think that you're going to put you on a straight salary so you don't have this problem again. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes, I do.
Because I've been around a long time. Unfortunately, I've had transmission trouble in old cars that I owned years ago and been faced with the situation of you bring a car in, it's going to cost you $300, and all of a sudden to get your car out, it costs you $1,200. Now, Mr. Ratkin says not only were they not for that car, my question was, were they capable of being used in that car? And he said,
no, ma'am. No.
Which means that somebody, you or somebody else, just threw some parts in a car and said, take them.
When her car left, it worked beautiful, and when we called her, her car still works.
It doesn't make any difference. You scammed her.
I did not scam her.
You scammed her, and your business scammed her. I don't know if it's the only person that you scammed, but you seem to do it so easily, sir. You seem to get that social security number so easily that it's a routine. It's a routine that you fine-tuned, and you didn't fine-tune it on her.
But
you fine-tuned it over a long period of time. Maybe you learned it from your... Maybe you're just good and you learned it on your own. I don't know which one, but I know exactly what you did.
She signed a repair bill saying
exactly
about this.
Exactly what you did. You gave her one quote, which was a low-ball quote, and once you had the car... And you called her and said, it's going to cost you more. She said, don't do it. You said, sorry, done anyway. And maybe you put a couple of hours into fixing her car. She said, I want all the parts. You said, uh-oh. So you or somebody else threw some old parts in the car. Outrageous, sir.
She no signed wonder a repair you... bill for the full amount.
She gave you a check for the full amount, sir, because you wouldn't give her her car. Are you telling me that she didn't say to you, don't fix the car?
She never told me not to fix it until after it was installed in the vehicle.
That's not my question. You installed it at a time when she had a piece of paper indicating it was going to cost her $800 to fix the car. And then, allegedly, which I don't believe, you fixed it for more, and then you called her. Why didn't you call her before you fixed it?
We called her before we fixed it.
No, you just said to me she authorized it and it was done.
When she authorized it, we repaired it, and when she came in to try to stop it, it was done.
No. Listen to me. That's not what happened. She spoke to you on the 21st when you told her what the bill was going to be, and she said, don't do it. Why else would you think she would go out the same day and buy another car?
She never talked to me until the 28th.
I don't believe you. She says she spoke to you. And you were the one who said to her uncle, I'll need her social, because that's your scam. And you're outrageous. And your company's outrageous. Judging for the plaintiff for the amount of $1,671.14. And if I could add the $800 for the car, I would. But you didn't sue for it because that's punitive damages that he deserves. That's all. Step out.
Parties are excused. You must step out.
You know, they've had 28 complaints with the BBB.
Every business is going to have a complaint with the Better Business Bureau.
In 36 months, have been sued dozens of times.
I'm not answering that question.
And it happens all the time, and the government just hasn't shut them down. They simply close down and relocate and rename, and they're getting away with it.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Hartman versus Areola, step forward, please.
Melissa Hartman is suing her former friend, Christina Areola, for car damages and increased insurance premiums as the result of an accident.
Miss Areola, this was a friend of yours?
Yes.
You borrowed her car?
Yes, ma'am.
How long have you been friends?
About a year and a half.
Where were you going that you wanted to borrow her car?
I was going to apply for a job.
And you had an accident?
Yes.
Was the accident your fault?
Yes.
And there was damage to the car. So just tell me briefly about the accident.
I was reaching down to pick up my purse and...
Or a phone?
My phone was inside my purse.
So the phone was ringing, so you bent down to pick up the phone. And?
And I hit a tree.
Okay, so the car rolled and you hit a tree. So the accident was your fault?
Yes.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
She made the agreement that she was going to pay my insurance company back so my insurance wouldn't go up.
When did she make that agreement?
Originally, when she said she couldn't pay to fix my car.
That's not what you wrote in your complaint.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Melissa Hartman says former friend Christina Areola borrowed her car and wrecked it. She is suing for the damage caused and increased insurance premiums. Christina is countersuing for harassment.
Now, you called her immediately?
Yes.
No. She had her mom call me.
Okay, and her mother said, I just got a call from my daughter. She was in an accident?
Yes.
Well, that's reasonable.
Yes.
Brought the car home?
Yes, it was still
drivable.
Able to drive.
So you drove to Ms. Hartman's home?
Well, she was at my house.
So you drove to your house?
Yes.
Showed her the car? You had the car fixed?
Yes, I did.
And there came a point when Miss Ariella gave you some money?
Yes, she
When was that?
It was about a month later when my insurance came in.
Okay, and you had a deductible?
Yes.
How much?
$250.
And you rented a car?
Yes, my insurance paid for the car also.
But I originally paid for it.
Yes, she rented me a car for a couple days when it got estimated.
How much did you pay to rent her a car for a couple of days?
It was approximately $160.
How much money did Miss Ariello pay you in total?
$175.
Along with the $250 deductible and the rental car.
$250. What else?
Yes.
$175.
$175, which was for what?
That was the amount that she said that her mother's insurance went up by. Her premium was
okay.
To go up that amount.
And the $160 for the car?
For the rental car.
And when did she give you that money?
My insurance was back in November, so she gave me that in November.
Well, she paid for the rental car, which was $160. That must have been in August.
Yes, that was the agreement she made with me, though, while my truck was getting fixed.
That was the agreement she made with you?
Yes.
And she lived up to that agreement?
Yes.
So she gave you a total of $535. That was your agreement?
No, the agreement was that she was going to pay to get my truck fixed. She didn't have the money, so I turned it into my insurance. She made the agreement that she was going to pay my insurance company back so my insurance wouldn't go up.
When did she make that agreement?
Originally, when she said she couldn't pay to fix my car.
That's not what you wrote in your complaint.
When I spoke to the insurance company and her mother...
You can't tell me what anybody else said to you. That's hearsay.
Got it. What I said then was that I would take care of anything that they were out financially. So that meant the deductible, the car rental, any money that they were out. And I feel like I kept my end of the deal.
You did. I agree with you.
My insurance went up for the next 5 years.
Well, first of all, Ms. Hartman, that's part of the problem that you have when you lend somebody your car.
Yes, ma'am. I found that out the hard way.
And I don't believe that she made an agreement to pay your insurance, whatever the increase was, ad infinitum. And it may be, you say here 3 years, now you say 5 years. You made an agreement with her, which she abided by. This incident happened back in August. Mm-hmm. She paid you the $250 immediately, which was the deductible. She rented a car for you for $160. She paid 1 month of the increase in your insurance, because she said she would do that. She had an accident. She acknowledged it was her fault, and you received $535 from her. She's not responsible for the increase of your mother's insurance over the next 5 years, or 6 years, or 7 years. She's not. That's what insurance is for. And if you don't want to risk having your insurance increase, if you're a safer driver than someone else's, don't lend them your car. That's what you have to do, not lend them your car. But she had an accident. It was her fault. She paid for what she could.
Yes, ma'am.
What you agreed to.
She agreed when she got her taxes back that she would pay back to my insurance, because I can't afford the extra $200 that my insurance went up. Or the $178 my insurance went up for the next 5 years.
Well, if she agreed to do that, if that's what you're saying, then I guess she'll do it. But insurance companies, no insurance company that I know, takes back money from somebody and says, we'll lay out the, how much was it, $2,200 to fix the car?
It was almost $2,500.
And she paid you a total of $535.
Yes, ma'am.
She can't pay your insurance company back.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, what you're suggesting is that over the next 5 years or so, your insurance is going to go up, well, you say 3 years, $2,000.
Yes.
You would have been better off, Ms. Hartman, not reporting it to the insurance company, taking out a loan, paying to have the car fixed, and then she could have paid you back.
Well,
instead, you reported it to your insurance company. She paid you what I believe in good faith, and now you have an increased expense. I actually have no way of knowing whether the increased expense is because of only her accident, because $175 a month sounds like an awful lot of money over a five-year period over an accident where the insurance company paid out $2,000. That sounds like a lot to me. In any event, I believe you reached an agreement with her. She abided by the terms of your agreement. Your claim is dismissed. That's all.
Please excuse me. Step out.
In the counter suit?
You don't want to proceed with that, do you?
No, ma'am.
I didn't think so.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. and on the next Judge Judy.
Well, I learned my lesson not to lend anybody my car.
I paid for everything that she was out financially, every single penny.
Now I have to pay the price for somebody else's mistake.
So I don't feel like she was out anything.
You know, that's what I get for paying the price for letting a friend use my vehicle.